This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where everything great is pyramid-based, whether it be a scheme or the basis of an episode. We are your foreshading hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today. And Chelsea, I really want to make a point of explicitly telling you, I just created a word here, foreshading. I don't think I was foreshadowing, because very clearly people know what this episode's about. It's in the episode title. But I did give a little hint just before telling you here that it is in fact about pyramids. So I'm calling that foreshading. It's not quite a full shadow. It's a little bit of shade.
It's a combination of the title, because you're just clearly just going to say this episode's about pyramids.
Yeah.
And the title in combination, that makes it foreshading.
Yeah. And it's that whole thing of we're pretending like the people listening don't know what the episode's about before we tell them at the beginning of the episode, but they do. And it's a little game we play with you people.
It is.
I quite like it sometimes.
I'm not sure about them sometimes, to be honest, yeah. What they do and what they don't know.
Anyhow, it's foreshading when we do that. I think it's a good word for it.
Yeah. I would agree on that, at least.
And Chelsea, here today, we've talked about triangles before, but I don't think we've expressly, like, fully committed to the three-dimensional triangle that is the pyramid and doing episodes on those. Now, pyramids themselves are a great thing known very well in normalcy. We're not going to be talking about the Great Pyramids or anything around those ones. They're too mainstream at this point. There are some fringe topics around those, but that's not what we're doing.
Okay.
No, what we're doing is looking at some little known pyramids around the world. And it's a fun thing, Chelsea, when you look at it, that we all the time are discovering new pyramids. We really are, with the advancement of satellite technology and LIDAR. I believe we've in fact covered a Fringy Mini on using LIDAR to discover pyramids in the middle of the Amazon rainforest.
I think we have, yeah. Because LIDAR, it sounds like something I would have only heard here. Did sound familiar.
And we're not lying about it. It is a real thing. But we're also not talking about those ones either. Those ones seem pretty legit. And in any event, there's still more to learn about them. And we're going to leave that there. No, Chelsea, today we're going to talk about some potential pyramids that are out there that people believe they have either seen, they're looking for, or are in plain sight. But people don't believe them when they say they're a pyramid. So Chelsea, let me take you on this journey.
I'm intrigued by that last one.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're going to learn a lot about that one right off the bat.
Oh, good. That one was my favorite so far.
Of little known pyramids, or pyramids that could be, the potential of the pyramids, if you will. Now, I'm going to start this episode off. We're going to go to former Yugoslavia, into Bosnia, where we're going to look at the Bosnian pyramid. Have you heard of this before? Okay.
No.
I want you to Google it right now. You'll see a picture of it and just tell me what you see.
Okay, because I was already doing. A pyramid covered in grass would be a mountain.
It's got a pretty good shape to it. That's the weird thing. Mountains are inherently pyramid shaped for the most part.
Yeah, but mountains are more like irregular because of nature. Nature's not generally geometrical like this clearly is.
Yeah, and Chelsea, this is in a little town called Visoko, northwest of Sarajevo in Bosnia. It's a small town sitting at the foot of what is called the Valley of the Pyramids now in Bosnia.
That's cool. What a ripoff, though.
This town was the capital of Bosnia during the Middle Ages, and ruins of medieval fortresses are located all over the hills here. And the hills and or pyramids are generally considered by modern science to be a type of hill known as Flatirons. Now, they kind of litter that whole area. The foothills are the Flatirons that are all throughout this part. Mm-hmm. But in October of 2005, a man by the name of Sam Osmanagic, or Samir Osmanagic, I'm not actually quite sure which one's right, because in his own biography, he put Sam and then also known as Samir. So I don't know which one's his real name.
Okay.
He comes with his supporters and he sees these and he says, oh yeah, these are definitely pyramids. Surprisingly, this is the first time anybody's ever done this.
I mean, if you've never seen a pyramid before and you just always saw it there.
You think no one's ever been there that had seen the pyramids or a pyramid? No. This was 2005.
I don't know. Okay. I'm just speculating.
Okay. Sam comes along and he sees these hills and he says that they're part of an ancient pyramid complex. In an interview with Philip Coppens in Nexus, sometime in April or May of 2006, Sam suggested that they were most likely constructed by the Illyrians, who, according to Sam, lived in the area from 12,000 BC to 500 BC. He has since argued Visosika is an example of cultures building on top of other cultures. And in 2017, Osmanagic actually claims that the structures date back as far as 34,000 years. He also, during this time, happens to discover tunnels in and around these pyramid structures. He has named them the Ravni Tunnels and says that they are an ancient man-made underground network. And he claims they are 2.4 miles long or 3.8 kilometers. And in these tunnels, he claims that he has found fossilized leaves that he has had carbon dated back to 34,000 years ago.
Wow, that's crazy. Long time.
Osmanagic has also given these hills his own name as he's been kind of looking at them and digging them up. He calls two of the hills the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon, not to be confused with the ones in Mexico that are called the Pyramids of the Sun and the Moon. And he has named other ones the Pyramids of Love, the Earth, and the Dragon. He is just finding pyramids all throughout this valley in Bosnia.
Interesting.
And in fact, Bosnia has fully embraced this, with local authorities funding his excavations in the area and authorizing visits to the pyramids by school children, with guides telling them the hills are part of Bosnian heritage. And since Osmanagic started this endeavor, the site has become a tourist destination.
Where's Sam from?
We are going to read his entire biography, so we will get to that. He was born in Yugoslavia, which ends up being fragmented into Bosnia-Herzegovina and then in just Bosnia. He is at least a part of that Balkan state area. It's not like he's coming in as like a Westerner and saying this.
It's so weird, though, that, like, there's no, like, mention of it before he comes along and is like, yeah, it's totally pretty.
Oh, yeah. Heritage. Yeah, I agree. According to Osmanagic, the dig in 2006 when he started excavating was involved an international team of archaeologists from Australia, Austria, Ireland, UK, and Slovenia. However, many of these archaeologists whom he named have clearly stated on the record that they did not agree to participate and were never at the site. And Osmanagic also claimed the support of a, quote, Oxford archaeologist, unquote, who was found to be an unqualified undergraduate. His foundation's website also claimed support of a British member of parliament, and the name was not that of any sitting member at the time. Osmanagic also claims that the direction of the hills reveal alignments to support ancient human cosmology. According to Enver Buza, a surveyor at the Sarajevo Geodetic Institute, the, quote, Pyramid of the Sun, end quote, is perfectly oriented to the north. Osmanagic has said that the sides of the pyramids are oriented towards the cardinal points and has claimed that this could not be produced by natural processes. Osmanagic's claims have also centered on alleged evidence concerning satellite photography, thermal analysis, and radar detection. An article by Ian Traynor for The Guardian in 2006 reported that Osmanagic and his team alleged that their results from such research showed that the hills were not natural formations, that tunnels may exist inside the hills, which he has since found. According to Osmanagic, his excavation have produced evidence of blocks that he claims may be part of a man-made outer surface. Osmanagic claims that these blocks are made of a concrete poured on site that was stronger than any of today's versions. So he has a lot of things that are just absolutely bonkers about this place compared to anything that we've really have seen from that time.
Yeah, it's looking that way.
And especially this dates anywhere from like 12,000 to 34,000 years ago in his mind.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Here's a bit of a retraction, even though we've done a bit of that for him already. Osmanagic's claims have been repeatedly condemned by qualified scientists and archaeologists. Seven leading European archaeologists issued a European Association of Archaeologists declaration stating, "We, the undersigned professional archaeologists from all parts of Europe, wish to protest strongly at the continuing support by the Bosnian authorities for the so-called pyramid project being conducted on hills at and near Visoko. This scheme is a cruel hoax on an unsuspecting public and has no place in the world of genuine science. It is a waste of scarce resources that would be much better used in protecting the genuine archaeological heritage and is diverting attention from the pressing problems that are affecting professional archaeologists in Bosnia-Herzegovina on a daily basis." This declaration was signed by some pretty prominent archaeologists of Europe, including Hermann Parsinger, president of the German Archaeological Institute in Berlin, Wilhelm Willems, Inspector General of the Rijksinspectie Archaeology in The Hague, and Jean-Paul Demont, President of the Institut National de Recherche Archaeologique Preventive, the archaeologists in France.
Okay, I know you just said that, like, a lot of stuff, but William Williams.
Yeah. Willem Willems, yeah.
Willem Williams.
The Dutch, they just like you to it.
You gotta love when people do that. You gotta love it when people do that.
Osmanagic's assertions have been categorically refuted by a number of experts who have accused him of promoting pseudoscientific notions and damaging valuable archaeological sites with his excavations. Amar Karapas, a curator of the Historical Museum of Bosnia and Herzegovina in Sarajevo, has said, quote, "When I first read about the pyramids, I thought it was a very funny joke. I just couldn't believe that anyone in the world could believe this," end quote. Garrett Fagan of Penn State University is quoted as saying, quote, "They should not be allowed to destroy genuine sites in the pursuit of these delusions. It is as if someone were given permission to bulldoze Stonehenge to find secret chambers of lost ancient wisdom underneath," end quote. Enver Imamovic of the University of Sarajevo, a former director of the National Museum of Sarajevo, was concerned that the excavations will damage historical sites such as the medieval royal capital, Visoki, said the excavations would irreversibly destroy a national treasure.
Hmm.
And in excavations in the summer of 2008, by archaeologists who are not related to Osmanagic's foundation, uncovered medieval artifacts, which led to renewed calls for the government to cancel Osmanagic's digging permits.
Yeah.
A former employee, Nadia Nukic, told a Bosnian newspaper that carvings on stones that Osmanagic characterizes as dating from ancient times were not present when the stones were first uncovered. They were later inscribed by Osmanagic's team. Osmanagic has denied these statements, however.
What?
And it should be noted here, Dr. Brian Stewart, assistant curator at the Museum of Anthropological Archaeology at the University of Michigan, stated, quote, "There were very worrying reports that he and his team have essentially sculpted the sides of these natural hills into something they think resembles pyramids, in the process stripping away sediment which contains layers of actual archaeology from medieval and earlier periods," end quote.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but with Osmanagic's work in this area, tourism is bustling. They've claimed to have attracted 200,000 tourists in the first year of his operations at the site. In 2006, he was seeking funding from investors in Malaysia to construct an archaeological park. He also intended to establish parks around other landmarks, which he claims as ancient monuments and scientists say are natural features. Attendance has declined somewhat as the Bosnian hills since these early years, but souvenir sellers say they still depend on the steady business. Osmanagic has added events claimed to enhance the spiritual atmosphere at the site. For instance, meditation sessions are held in the so-called Ravna tunnels, which he claimed to have discovered. And in 2016, Osmanagic claimed that 5,000 people had visited the archaeological park since it opened in June of that year. In 2016, Osmanagic's foundation opened Ravna 2 Park. The park is visited by tens of thousands of tourists on a yearly basis, but also by a large number of locals and visitors from the surrounding area. It is supported by the Visoko Municipal Government and the Zenica Doboj Canton. The Visoko Municipal Council declared it as a park of significance. Which is kind of just crazy that that's happened. But Chelsea, I bet you're wondering at this point, who the hell is Sam Osmanagic?
Yeah, no, I've been wondering about that.
I'm going to read to you his biography from his website.
Oh, you gotta love it when it comes directly from there, from them.
Dr. Sam Osmanagic, born June 1, 1960, aka Samir Osmanagic. Again, I have no idea which one's the right one, because Samir sounds like his actual name. But that's the also known as.
It has to be Samir, and then he goes by Sam, I think.
Yeah.
That's just my speculation, though.
Yeah. So he's a Bosnian-American scientist, megalithic and pyramid sites researcher, internationally acclaimed speaker, and author of 18 books on ancient civilizations and businessmen. And sorry, it's not ancient civilization and businessmen. He's also a businessman. I just wanted to make...
Okay. I thought he was writing books on businessmen.
Sam wrote and narrated the 12-episode documentary Search for Lost Civilization for the state television of Bosnia and Herzegovina in 2007 and is the founder of the archaeological park Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun Foundation. He is best known for discovering an ancient pyramid complex in Visoko, Bosnia and Herzegovina, which many scientists claim are the largest and oldest man-made structures in the world. Since 2005, he has served as the project's principal investigator. And I really want to stress, and he put these words in here, just rereading this. He's best known for discovering an ancient pyramid complex, which many scientists claim are the largest and oldest man-made structures in the world.
Yeah.
That is not the consensus at all. His early life, Osmanagic is the second son of Tonka Osmanagic and Professor Dr. Miri Osmanagic, the first mining PhD in Yugoslavia and a renowned scientist. Was born in Zenica, Bosnia-Herzegovina, former Yugoslavia, on June 1, 1960. He studied in Sarajevo, where he graduated from both elementary and high school as the top student in his division. And I find it really weird, as this might be a cultural thing, where it's really important, like, the birth order.
Yeah, it comes up a lot.
Osmanagic has a PhD in Mayan pyramids from the University of Sarajevo in Bosnia-Herzegovina, 2000.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
2 to 2007. Prior to that, he graduated from the University of Sarajevo with a Master's of Science in International Economics, a Bachelor of Science in Political Sciences, a Bachelor of Science in Economics, and 2 years of sociology training. He operated an import-export business for 7 years. After earning his degree from the University of Sarajevo, he moved to the United States in 1992, just as the Bosnian War began. He settled in Houston, Texas, and worked as a marketing assistant for a business that made components for oil and gas wells. He received a promotion to manager and became a minority owner of the company in 1995, owning 5% of it.
I'm sorry, I giggled because on Seinfeld, Elaine and George are making up a lie about a boyfriend she doesn't have who's an importer-exporter.
Yeah, it's perfect cover, isn't it?
Doesn't sound made up at all.
Yeah, I also want to stress, outside of his PhD in Mayan pyramids,
is that
he has Bachelor of Science degrees. We're going to talk about that once we get to that part, Chelsea. Okay. Outside of that part, he has a Bachelor of Science degree. It's in economics, international economics, political science, and economics. Those are his 3 degrees before the Mayan pyramid stuff. And I should make a note that his Mayan pyramid PhD is at Sarajevo from 2002 to 2007. He discovered the pyramid in 2005. He did not have any training in any way for the pyramid stuff at that time.
Oh, is it like an honorary PhD?
We'll get to that at some point. Don't worry.
Okay.
Anyhow, his scientific career. He is known worldwide as an expert on pyramids and has researched the sites of pyramid. I'm sorry. I just love how this paragraph. I love how this paragraph rolls out and ends. It's just great. I have to restart. He is known worldwide as an expert on pyramids and has researched the sites of pyramidal constructions in various countries, including China, Mauritius, the Canary Islands, Egypt, Peru, El Salvador, Guatemala, Bolivia, Cambodia, Indonesia, Italy, Spain, Greece, Australia, USA, Honduras, and Mexico, and has traveled to more than 100 countries.
He is decorated.
I don't know how that lasts. Half those countries don't have pyramids. And then he just adds in at the end, he's been to over 100 countries, and that helps him be an expert in pyramids.
might be.
That's great. He is an anthropology professor at the American University in Bosnia-Herzegovina, the center's director, 2011-12, and a foreign member of Moscow's renowned Russian Academy of Sciences, which counts many Nobel Prize winners among its members. He's introduced as an honorary member of Croatian Academy of Sciences and Art in Diaspora and Bosnian Academy of Science and Art, Kulin Ban. He is also a fellow member of the Archaeological Society of Alexandria. Osmanagic received an invitation to Visočica's fortress ruin in April of 2005. Osmanagic observed Visočica's hill's pyramidal shape while he was there. Later, he published a book supporting the idea that the hill was the wreckage of a long-ago pyramid that was built by intelligent hands. He asserted that this pyramid was one of six enormous stone constructions that were pyramid-shaped and had a vast network of prehistoric tunnels. He gave these constructions the name Bosnian Pyramids and founded the archaeological park Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun Foundation as a charitable organization to support the marketing and research of the site. With over 650,000 working hours logged between 2005 and 2023, the project has emerged as the world's most important and most active archaeological site. He and his team have so far found 11 artificial structures, including the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon, Pyramid of Love, Pyramid of the Dragon, Temple of Mother Earth, the Sixth Pyramid, which I don't know why he named it that, the Vratnica, Delovi, and Ginja Temuli, the KTK tunnels, and the underground labyrinth Ravna, which consists of six undiscovered entrances to the tunnel. Before that, he spent 25 years studying pyramids around the world, visiting and exploring most of them. And these include the Chinese pyramids in the central province of Shaanxi, the Koh Kher pyramids in Cambodia, the pyramids of Indonesia, Australia, Sudan, Egypt, the Canary Islands, Mauritius, Peru, Bolivia. Again, he repeats this. And again, the USA and Spain are in there, and they do not have pyramids.
No.
And finally, Bosnia, where most of them are completely covered in vegetation. We're going to make a real big note of this part. The business ventures. Between 1986 and 1989, Dr. Sam served as an associate at the Institute for Strategic Development at UNIS, United Metal Industries of Sarajevo. He founded his company Meteorite, Inc., for construction and international trade. He held the position of general manager of Houston Protectors, Inc. When he went to the U.S., Osmanagic established the manufacturing firm Met Company, Inc. in Houston in 1995 and served as the company's owner and CEO until 2022 when he sold it. He has resided in Zenica, Bosnia from 1960 to 69, Sarajevo from 1969 to 92, Houston in 92 to 2011, Sarajevo from 2011 to 2021, and Visoko from 2021 to present.
That's where the pyramid is, right?
Yeah. He has way too much personal detail here. Osmanagic has had two marriages. Oksana Garusi, his ex-wife, was born in 1968 and resides in Houston, Texas. What kind of doxing her there?
Here's your phone number. 416-666-6666.
Dario, his son, is a Houston-based electrical engineer and programmer born in 1989. Sabina Osmanagic, his current spouse, is a journalist who works as the general manager of Bosnian Pyramids, Inc., and she was born in 77. In 2021, Sam and Sabina relocated to Visoko from Sarajevo. This has drawn some really weird attention. It has a ton of tourists, but anybody who's kind of new agey and has some money has kind of gone to see this thing. The one person who's really attached to it is Novak Djokovic, the tennis player. He's been to it multiple times.
I saw him on a news article.
I was reading something through this, and I just need to include it while we're doing this.
Yeah, please.
Where is it? In 2020, the pyramids received their biggest boost yet when one of the greatest tennis players of all time, Novak Djokovic, started visiting the site and meditating inside the tunnel complex near the pyramids. Positive energy is very important to Djokovic and something he directs to many areas of his life. Indeed, in his roller coaster of a book, Serve to Win, the 14-day gluten-free plan for physical and mental excellence, he shares these many beliefs with his readers, including the fact that he believes that conversation is very influential on food we eat. Accordingly, to Djokovic, any negative conversation about broccoli, for example, might result in it being stripped of its nutrients as well as its taste. As a result, Djokovic won't allow any negative energy to get near his dinner table. This means a ban on texting and emailing and watching television. In his book, he explains, "I believe that if you are eating with some kind of fear or worry or anger, the taste of the food and the energy you get from it won't be as powerful. What you give is what you get. Although positive chat is allowed, there isn't much of that either, as Djokovic basically spends much of the meal involved in mental dialogue with his food. After each bite, he places the fork back down on the table and becomes entirely focused on the chewing. He wants to instruct the food where it needs to go so it can help in the healing of any wounds he may have acquired during recent tennis matches. Quote, as I chew, the process of digestion is already starting. The enzymes in my saliva mix with the food so that when it hits my stomach, it's a fully formed piece of, quote, information, unquote, end quote. So yeah, he's got some fun beliefs in there. He also, came right out of left field when I was reading this. Every July in Visoko, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Dr. Sam Osmanagic conducts an event called NBA Stars for the Children in Foster Care. Moreover, he supports regional sporting and cultural events. That's, he wrote that in his own biography. I don't know what that means, but the NBA is involved in it.
What's his native language? What does he prefer to communicate in?
Well, he lived in Houston for like 10 years. Oh, yeah. It has to be English, or at least he has to have passable English.
I was gonna say, like, is he writing this with no prior knowledge of English?
I don't know. It's hard to say. And it should be noted, he really touted the fact that he was part of the Russian Academy of Natural Sciences. It's under heavy criticism for promoting pseudoscientific theories, and a large number of the purported Academy's members also have no formal education in natural sciences. Case in point, this guy.
Okay, damn.
So there's that. And you know how I said that they've tested leaves they found in the tunnel, that they're 34,000 years old?
Yeah, don't tell me they're wrong.
I looked this up. They've been tested by one person, a man by the name of Paul Laviolette. His name has come up. I don't know if it's on this show or not before, but if you watch Ancient Aliens and that whole group, he's involved in that. I looked him up, and the best I could find is he does have a PhD, but he's known for writing the books Secrets of Anti-Gravity Propulsion, Subquantum Kinetics, Earth Under Fire, Genesis of the Cosmos, Decoding the Message of the Pulsars, Galactic Superwaves, and Their Impact on Earth. And he's the only person who's ever done that, and it's only been studied at a lab in Kiev, Ukraine. So that's like nobody else has gotten to look at them.
Oh, that sounds super rare.
Yeah. And of course, Chelsea, because this is a real place you can go and visit, that means I could go on Google and there are reviews of this place out there. And of course, that means there are 1-star reviews.
Oh, good.
So we're going to start with Chris Muller, who was there a month ago. He has given 13 reviews before, and he gave it a 1-star review. Biggest scam I ever fell for. It's literally a hill. They call it Pyramid of the Sun and surrounding hills pyramids of the moon and of love and whatever. But they're all just hills, nothing else. The woman then explained that the stones of the pyramids were not carried by slaves, but by cosmic force created by scientists. I literally do not understand how the government actually just watches people get ripped off. Oh well. With all these fake reviews, the scam might live on forever.
Fake reviews.
Rob Parkhouse has one as well, a 1-star review. This is 3 weeks ago. He has 61 reviews, so I don't think he's a bot. A total scam, not a pyramid, just a hill. If you do go, then don't go via front entrance where you need to pay. Go around the back and walk up for free. Nice views from the top, though. So that's a good little piece of advice.
It was 1-star, though, wasn't it?
It was 1-star. So if you do want to go see it, at least go for free. Go the back way.
Okay, yeah, go the back way.
And then Dennis RB, I think, has my favorite review here. He's given 50 reviews, again, a 1-star. A place that attracts naive people who think this place got power or high energy. This is nothing new under the sun, where people are worshiping creation instead of the creator. Brackets, Jesus Christ. End bracket.
I love a good bracket, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I just love that people are falling for this scam when they should be worshiping Jesus.
But yes.
It's just, I don't know. It's point. Perfect. Just perfect. Yeah. Chef's kiss. Anyhow, that's the Bosnian Pyramid, Chelsea. I think it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed that. I don't know that it'll go based on those reviews. I'd rather worship Jesus Christ.
We should just be worshiping Jesus Christ. What are we doing?
Exactly.
Now, Chelsea, we're going to go from this thing that is in the ground that you can at least claim as a pyramid, and we're going to go north. And then we're going to go, I don't know which direction, but towards Alaska, because you can go either way. I think we're kind of basically on the other side of the planet from it.
You go east or west, yeah.
Yeah, but we are going to go to Alaska, and we are going to look at the Alaskan Black Pyramid, Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're going to learn some stuff here. So I didn't know this. Nobody talks about this prior to July 26, 2012.
Oh, good.
Did you know that?
No, really?
That's the first time it came up in the public. Like, it's said to exist far before that, but the first time anybody talked about it was in 2012. Actually, a fairly fortuitous is the wrong word for it, but I'm going to use it anyways, with the dawn of 2012 coming in December of that year, or I guess the dusk of 2012 happening in December of that year, talking about the discovery of a pyramid in Alaska. The existence was not confirmed until July 26, 2012, when veteran journalist and UFO specialist Linda Moulton Howe reported its discovery on Coast to Coast AM's radio show, despite claims of its ancient origins.
I didn't realize that was the origin of it.
Yeah.
I remember her talking about it a lot.
Yeah, she talks about it a ton. At that time, yeah. She was talking about the Alaska Triangle in that zone, where ships, planes, and people have disappeared. She estimated during that time that 18,000 individuals had gone missing in that area since 1988. On the evening of that day, Linda Moulton Howe aired a pre-recorded conversation with Doug Mutchler. I don't know how to say this name. M-U-T-S-C-H-L-E-R. Mutchler, I think.
Yeah, let's go with that.
A retired U.S. Army counterintelligence agent who described the events leading to the uncovering of the pyramid and revealed the connection between the location and the U.S. military. Doug Mutchler stated this: on May 22nd of 1992, China carried out an underground nuclear test in Lonpur, detonating a 1 megaton device under the desert of northwest China, and was at first thought to be a major earthquake when detected by some seismologists. According to Mutchler, geologists had used the detonation to undertake a seismographic study of the Earth's crust, only to find a pyramid structure underground, somewhere west of Mount McKinley. Mutchler recalls that the local NBC affiliate ran a story announcing the structure's discovery about 6 months after the detonation. But when Mutchler attempted to follow up with the station to get a copy of the story, evidently not as part of his duties at Fort Richardson, where he was stationed, they denied that the story had ever run and asserted that they certainly didn't have a copy to provide. Mutchler then called relatives to track down copies of the story that had run on other stations, but apparently none had. The discovery only appeared on Anchorage Channel 13. Mutchler was later transferred from Alaska to Fort Meade, it's the home of the NSA, where he went to a classified archives, seemingly searching it out to confirm the pyramid story that he had found. This is from him. I thought maybe they'd have something about this pyramid. So I went to what I guess would be a librarian, and I asked him if he had anything on archaeological sites. I didn't say pyramid, but I said archaeological sites or underground facilities in Alaska. He said, well, if we do, I think it might be in container X, Y, or Z. So I went over there and I was just looking around, and I didn't really find anything saying pyramid, but I grabbed a couple of Alaska, like from two different safes. When I just sat down, these two guys came. You know how you can feel when someone is standing behind you and there's these two goons and they go, hey, you don't have a need to know for that information. And the other guy, somehow in that conversation, he goes, they don't want us messing with them up there anymore. They don't want you messing with them up there. They don't want us or anybody messing with them. The morning after Moulton Howe's interview with Mutchler, however, things got really weird. Inspired by Mutchler's dogged research, the adopted son of a retired Western Electric engineer reached out to Moulton Howe to confirm the basics of Mutchler's claim and to add several new wrinkles. Moulton Howe's new source claimed that his father had worked on a powerful electrical system emanating from a very large underground pyramid of unknown origin in Alaska between 1959 and 1961. And I should just add at this point, Linda Moulton Howe still has these interviews up on Earth Files, her YouTube channel. So if you do want to go listen to the originals, you can. I am paraphrasing everything as much as possible because they're each at least like an hour and a half long.
Oh yeah, probably much longer.
And she always has that intro in there as well where she's talking about her cats. Yeah, like they're always there.
They look like they're not even alive.
Sometimes. They were very active in this one.
Okay.
Although I am certain at some point in Earth Files they either have been or will be stuffed and just laying there. Yes, and we won't know.
You won't be able to tell the difference.
This is what the second guy says. After the war, he earned a degree in electrical engineering and physics. After finishing college, my father was re-recruited by the military to join a group of other experts to study and work at an underground structure in Alaska that, in his words, they called the Dark Pyramid. He spoke numerous times of how seriously the government took his project and the steps they took to keep it a secret. Brackets. I always assumed it was a military installation. End bracket. He said it was a study of energy distribution. He went on to be the key leader of the, quote, information bubble, unquote, for AT&T, which of course was the precursor to the web and cell phone technology we all know today. In his later years, he would always complain when receiving his electric bill that it would be free if we knew the truth. Now I'm starting to think he knew a lot more than we ever gave him credit for. I am in the process of going through his old papers and studies to see if there is any reference to this time in Alaska, and there may be no information since, as he said, it was confidential. If this pyramid allegedly found in 1992 is true, our government may have known about it far earlier than that and had taken extensive measures to keep keep it hidden. Those are the first two people that come forward, and I think that's actually all that come forward. The stories do go a lot more in depth than I did if you go listen to them, but that's the gist of where the pyramid in Alaska comes from.
I totally remember that story, that episode, or whatever you want to call it, interview, maybe? That doesn't go any further than that?
They go into detail, but I don't think there's any more people that come forward for it.
Huh.
Or at least I didn't have the time to find if there were any more. I looked into these two.
Okay, fair enough.
Unfortunately, we get into holes in Linda Moulton Howe's journalistic integrity. I shouldn't say journalistic integrity. Her style.
This is the beginning of the end, isn't it?
Yeah, and I should just say that we're very slowly cutting away at Linda Moulton Howe. I think she even lost her hyphen.
There's been allusions. She's
just Linda Howe now.
There's been allusions to it. I just haven't wanted to pay attention to because I like her, but she's slowly becoming shitty.
This comes from a website by the name of Jason Colavito. Jason, Colavito.com. I thought he did a really good critical analysis of some of the information. So I'm going to paraphrase some of the stuff that he looked at in this, and we'll just talk about it. So your retired U.S. Army counterintelligence agent Doug Mutchler says that when China exploded its largest underground nuclear test on May 22, 1992, geologists and seismologists used the event to study the Earth's crust and discover a large pyramid-shaped structure underground in western Alaska between Mount McKinley and Nome on Norton Sound. Allegedly, Anchorage Channel 13 broadcast one news story in the fall of 92 about the China nuclear test and subsequent pyramid discovery, and the Army agent says he learned the news report was ordered erased. Anchorage Channel 13 is an ABC affiliate KYUR-TV, but Moulton Howe, a former television journalist, apparently did not bother to take even the rudimentary step of contacting the TV station or examining transcripts from independent transcription agencies to confirm anything about the story. But she doesn't have to, because Mutchler asserts that the story was erased and therefore its absence becomes proof of its former presence.
Exactly.
Mutchler claims to have joined the military in 81, served as a chief warrant officer in the military intelligence, and left the military in 95 due to physical disability. Moulton Howe requested his discharge papers and posted them online, confirming that he did serve in counterintelligence in Southwest Asia. However, Mutchler waited 20 years to reveal the pyramid. Actually, she doesn't say this at all. She shared the original email Mutchler sent to her. So, and this is the email that she sent. From Douglas A. Mutchler to Linda Moulton Howe, pyramid under Alaska, dated June 22nd, 2012, to earthfiles at earthfiles.com. Hello, my name is Doug Mutchler, CW2, USA, retired. And during my service tour in Alaska, I was informed of a pyramid under the land in Alaska. There is other information concerning this that came to my attention after it was reported to us in 92. I've tried to pass this info on to others, but have not heard any response to my information. I assure you, I am telling you the truth about this, and I think this is being kept quiet by our government as the news was buried the very next day after it was brought to my attention. If you can help me get this info out to you, please call me so I can talk to you about this. My phone number is redacted. The whole story is pretty interesting, and this can be verified with your contacts. I'm assured of that, as I do not have them and came up with zero from the news people there. I'll tell you the whole story if you are interested. I've only contacted a couple of people, but have not heard back from any of them. I'm wondering if my emails are getting through to them, or if this is an old story that has no interest to news reporters. Thank you for your time on this matter. Signed, Douglas A. Mutchler. It's interesting that the initial email made no mention of the Chinese detonation or a TV news story, and in fact, Mutchler implies, though with an ambiguous passive construction, that the Army tried to suppress the information from the soldiers, not from the media. But this isn't what he said when asking ask.com for help finding the news footage, where he attributes the story entirely to his memory of a news story about the Chinese detonation from November of 92. I'm not able to determine which version came first. Ghost Theory's Harry Paterson tried to get to the bottom of the story in August of 2012, though he was operating on the assumption that Moulton Howe and Mutchler were accurate in their claims. He contacted the U.S. Geologic Survey in Anchorage and asked about the 1992 crustal survey Moulton Howe mentions, and he learned that there was no earth crust survey going on that year, directly contradicting Moulton Howe's version of events. Nevertheless, he decided to side with Moulton Howe because he believed Mutchler to be incapable of telling a lie or even being wrong, since he was military intelligence. Leaving aside the fact that memory is notoriously inaccurate and inexact, why would believers trust a member of the same organization? They had just accused of a global conspiracy to suppress archaeological evidence. Did they not just admit that they believe them to be proficient and capable liars capable of creating believable cover stories? Moulton Howe discovered that the phone number Mutchler gave her did not work when she tried to follow up with him, and when he finally called her back, he asserted that the government was manipulating the phones to prevent him from calling her. Satisfied with this conspiracy, the two then recorded an interview. So there's a lot of holes that she really needed to cover in that story that she didn't.
And maybe it's for reasons.
Yeah, it's more entertaining this way. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. She knows her audience.
I did want to just finish off with this last little bit, Chelsea. In doing my research into the Alaskan Pyramid, it was brought to my attention that Pyramid Audio and Video in Anchorage, Alaska has permanently closed. I do feel sorry for the people of Anchorage, Alaska. I think you've truly lost something there. But hey, maybe we can entertain you throughout. Google's such a great search engine now, isn't it?
Yes.
But yeah, that's the pyramid in Alaska. There's not even, no one's even seen it per se, or at least there's nothing geologically to look at. There are arguments, and you can find threads online of people alleging to have found overgrown military encampments in this area, but that in itself does not provide proof that there's a pyramid in the area. And if there is one, I should make note as well, because I don't think it really came up. It's underground. Like, you won't see it from the sky.
Right. Yeah, that was one thing about it, wasn't it?
Yeah. The guy's dad talked about going down in the elevator, and he said it took, like, really long to get down there.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that one's memorable. I like that story.
Yeah. And yeah, those are some of the powers of the pyramid. They do, in fact, I think, meet the standard for a pyramid scheme, in fact.
Yes. I think it does, actually.
And yeah, there are definitely other pyramids we could look at in the future. I just wanted to focus on these two this time.
Another one that's open for their episodes.
And also, I don't think there's enough to go off of for that Bosnian archaeologist who is not an archaeologist in any way. But some of the people associated with him, I think we could.
Yeah, there are two pyramids that are really similar, but vastly different.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype around these two. That's for sure.
Similar in the fact that they're pyramids and nothing else.
And with that, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes, or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.